May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Firstly, it's lovely to have Joseph here. He's definitely worth waiting for today. Every other Tuesday, Catherine and I attend a prayer service at The Passage, the local center working with homeless people here in Westminster. The service is organized by the chaplains, Father Pedre and Sister Bernie, two people full of both joy and spiritual insight. Every week, between 6 and 15 people come to the service, the chaplains, several regulars, and some people for the first time. This past week, I led the service, and the group that day was an interesting mix of people. Together, we explored today's parables we just heard read, of the mustard seed and yeast. And I think we gained a fresh insight into the kingdom of heaven through the unexpected power of story. I love the fact that much of the Bible comes to us in story, for stories are personal, and this is especially true of the stories that Jesus told. His parables stop us from reducing faith to a series of facts. For Jesus' parables not only describe the kingdom of God, they evoke an element of God's reality in our lives. They remind us of the faith we embrace. They remind us that it is much more than an intellectual faith. For faith is an experience of the creative and the redemptive power of God. In today's parables, Jesus uses images of growth, giving us a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven might be like. And I'm focusing today on the first two. As I was reading to prepare for this sermon, I found it interesting that neither mustard seeds nor yeast were viewed positively in Jesus' world. Mustard was a weed dreaded by farmers for taking over the fields. In a similar way, yeast was a contaminant and represented sin and destruction. So why does Jesus use such negative images to describe the kingdom of God? Well, I think he does this because, like mustard seeds and yeast, the kingdom of God cannot be controlled. It has a way of growing beyond anything we can imagine. It is contagious, full of life, and ready to spread to every corner of our lives. And this brings us again to last week's service at the Passage. There were three men present that day who in many ways make up the heart of the community. And as I have gotten to know them, I've been struck by their openness and their generosity, even despite their history of brokenness and suffering. Their outlook on life can only be described as inspirational, calling me and my attitude on life into question. So we spoke together about the kingdom of heaven, how it is not an otherworldly place, but it is rooted in the everyday. And after a while, I asked, where do you see signs of the kingdom today? One of the men, named Charlie, thought a moment and said, I am alive. This is a miracle. And I am alive simply because of the kingdom of heaven. Charlie, like others, has undergone great struggles, and yet his life is a sign that the kingdom of heaven is all around us, that it is most alive in a community where all are welcomed and valued. For like seeds and yeast, we grow and we rise together, and the source of this growth is often unexpected. So where do we see signs of the kingdom today? For each of us, the answer might be different. I think the image of the mustard tree growing in full bloom gives us a hint on where we find signs of the kingdom today. Jesus paints for us a picture of a mustard seed growing into a beautiful tree where birds find protection and a place to flourish, a place of new life. The birds are an image of the people in need of protection, and the abundant tree gives insight on the calling of the kingdom, and more specifically of the church, to be a place of safety and a place of welcome for those in need. The problems in our world sometimes seem overwhelming. We feel there's little that we can do to make a difference. And as individuals, this might be true, but together we can grow into a beautiful tree. The other day I heard it said that our attempts to do for others often feel insignificant, like small drops in a big ocean. And yet, the ocean is made of many drops, and the church is part of the ocean. Now, I think that we see this here at St. Peter's. We are a welcoming community. We don't always do this perfectly, but this is okay. For together, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are creating a community of safety where people can come together to find shelter and where they can begin to grow. Last week, Father Ralph spoke about our understanding or misunderstanding of judgment and justice, and he challenged us to think about judgment in the context of the grace of God. And St. Paul gives us a beautiful reading today from the letter to the Romans about the grace of God. And I thought, as it fits so nicely into what we are saying today, I would read these few verses again. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In a moment, we will see a glimpse of the kingdom as Joseph is baptized, for baptism is a sign that God is very much alive and present to us today, that he calls us from birth and promises that nothing can separate us from his love. Joseph's family has requested that we especially remember today his late great-grandfather, Joseph Cascinoli Randall. As we give thanks for his life in the midst of today's celebration of new life, we are reminded how the faith of the generations are linked. And so, as today we dedicate Joseph to God, as we proclaim with his parents, godparents, and family that he is part of the family of God, and as he begins his journey, he becomes for us a sign of the kingdom of heaven. Amen.